Romans chapter 4. We'll begin with verse 18. See the title? You could probably guess who we're going to be talking about. Romans chapter 4, beginning with verse 18. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken? So shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. May the Lord add his blessing to his word this evening. The Apostle Paul uses the example of Abraham as the supreme example to prove that salvation comes through faith, simply through faith and because of faith. The last few verses of this chapter teach us the truth that we cannot depend on anything other than faith to save us. We can't depend upon the law to save us. We can't depend upon our good works to save us. We cannot depend on anything that would be external to save our souls. Paul's point here is throughout the whole chapter that salvation comes to us purely by faith in Jesus Christ. It's an effort to teach us, how faith works. Paul is going to recall one of the greatest examples and one of the greatest miracles in all of the Bible. I'm referring to the birth of Isaac. What makes this birth so special? Well, his dad was 100 years old when he was born, and his mother was 90 years old when he was born. The Guinness World Book of Records tells us that the oldest mother on record is one Ruth Alice Kistler. Mrs. Kistler gave birth to a daughter at the spry age of 57. There is one report of a woman named Ellen Ellis who was said to be 72 in the year 1776 when her child was born. However, compared to Sarah, these ladies were just teenagers. All through this chapter, Paul has been appealing to the faith of Abraham to point out that men are now saved by faith. Now he is going to tell us what kind of faith Abraham had. It was the kind of faith that he displayed in this whole process with the promise of the birth of Isaac and then all the way to his actual birth. It was simply faith in what God had promised. It came down to faith in God that brought salvation to Abraham. So we're going to look at some lessons that we can learn from the story concerning Abraham. So we'll spend some time tonight talking about one child and two seniors. I mean, can you imagine when they went to a restaurant? One child, two seniors, please. When they went somewhere and they had to buy admissions tickets. One child, two seniors. One baby in diapers and two people on Geritol. That's the story of Abraham and Isaac and Sarah. First of all, I want tonight to look at Abraham's faith was well placed. Abraham's faith was well placed. Look at those verses 18 through 20. Who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken. So shall thy seed be. And be not weak in faith. He considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Notice the direction of his faith. Verse 20 tells us very clearly that Abraham staggered not at the promise of God. I mean, that could have been a blow. That would have staggered his faith, his belief in God. But this simply means that Abraham did not waver. He believed without reservation in God's ability to keep his word. What was the promise anyway? It was this incredible truth that God supernaturally caused Abraham and Sarah to have a son named Isaac. Basically, Abraham directed his faith toward God even when it seemed that what was promised was totally impossible. That's the bottom line. It all comes down to whether or not you believe God. Whether or not you believe in the promise of God. Whether it's salvation or any other area of your life, the results of your faith will always be determined by the direction of your faith. Faith that is placed in God is faith that will always be rewarded. Not just in Abraham's life, but in your life and my life as well. Anybody who directs their faith toward God, that faith will be rewarded. And then look at the duration of his faith. Verse 18, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. When the promise was first given to Abraham, he was about 75 years old. Even then, it seemed impossible. However, when the promise was confirmed in chapter 17 of Genesis, Abraham was 99 years old. By then, it really looked impossible. I don't know if it could have looked any more impossible, but I guess so. And yet the Bible says Abraham didn't stagger at this. His faith did not waver. The Bible tells us that Abraham believed God. The word there, believe, in that tense suggests that he believed God when he received the promise, and he kept on believing all the way till he received the promise. The promise was fulfilled. That's the kind of faith that will move mountains. That's the kind of faith that will see the hand of God work in your life, in my life. That's the kind of faith that will see the hand of God work in our church. That's the kind of faith that will see the hand of God work in our world. And so I want to encourage you tonight. Some of you maybe have been waiting on the Lord. He gave you a promise many years back, and you've been waiting for that to happen. Do you know that God has not changed his promise toward you? He just wants you to keep the faith. He just wants you to keep looking at him. Don't stagger. Don't waver. God has not forgotten about you. It took 25 years for Abraham's promise to be fulfilled. If he has made you a promise, you can count on that promise being fulfilled in his time. So don't give up. Don't despair. But trust in the Lord. He'll bring it to pass. And then the determination of his faith. There are three truths revealed about the faith of Abraham that serve as an encouragement to those who must live their lives in dependence upon the Lord. First of all, he refused to listen to reason. Notice there in verse 18, he hoped against hope. Reason said, this is impossible. Abraham had to have his eyes on somebody that was greater than himself. If his eyes were on the circumstances, then he had every reason in the world to doubt. No way that promise would be fulfilled. If any of us were there, we would probably say things like, I'm just too old. Sarah's all shriveled up. She's just like a prune. She's too old. She's too weak. We tried to have a baby when we were young. It didn't work then. Why should it work now? I mean, after all, it's a physical impossibility. Abraham refused to dwell on the negative. God had given him a promise, and that was enough for him. That's faith. That is faith. Just because God promised, that was enough for him. Cast reason to the side. If God said it, I'm going to believe it. That's a lesson for you and me. When we face things in our life, when it seems like impossibility and it seems like we should not listen because reason would speak out against it, if God has promised it, we just simply need to look to him. And then he refused to look at reality. He refused to look at his situation. His eyes were on the promise of God. Can you imagine as this old couple. Can I call them an old couple? This old couple, as they prepared for the birth of their son, at the age of 76, Abraham buys a crib. At the age of 78, he makes a list of possible boy names. At the age of 80, he orders a supply of super absorbent Pampers. At the age of 85, he goes hunting while Sarah's friends give her a baby shower. At the age of 86, he puts up wallpaper in the baby's room. At the age of 90, he subscribes to the New Parent magazines. At the age of 93, he and Sarah start Lamaze classes. At the age of 96, he drives a practice run to the hospital, times it. Yes, we can make it in that amount of time. At the age of 98, he packs the suitcase and puts it by the door. At the age of 99, he scratches his head and says, "I wonder if God was just kidding me." No, Abraham kept the faith all the way to the end. Now, did he doubt? You know, I think, as I look at this, I think he must have had some doubt. He was human. And then I remember how when God came to him and to reconfirm that promise, Abraham actually laughed. He had a little chuckle about that promise. And he laughed, and God said, "You know, Abraham, I want you to name this child Isaac, which means laughter. And every time you think of this child's name, you'll remember that you laughed at my promise." But you know, he didn't focus on the doubt. He didn't focus on the unbelief. I don't know if that makes sense to you tonight, but sometimes I've discovered that in my life, faith is not always 100% certainty. There are times when faith is mixed with unbelief, but action overtakes the unbelief. Not staggering and positively putting my trust in God overcomes the doubt that is mixed in. And in spite of our doubts, we act on the promise of God. To me, that is faith. Abraham was a man who believed God, and it didn't mean that he didn't have any doubt. He had some, but he didn't let that doubt crowd out his faith. His faith rose above his doubts, and he continued to prepare and to expect and to act in faith. How was his faith revealed? His name was changed for one. His name in the beginning was Abram, which means exalted father. When he received the promise from God, his name was changed to Abraham, which means the father of a multitude. Many people probably thought that he was just a silly old man. I got to be honest with you. If Jim and Marion or Bob and Clarice announced that they were going to have a child, I would probably consider you a little bit silly. But God saw this couple act in the deepest of faith. Abraham certainly had his doubts, but he didn't let those doubts sidetrack him. He kept on trusting God for the victory. What does this all say to us? To me, it says that faith is a battle. Faith is a struggle. There will be doubts if we really are honest with ourselves. There will be times when there will be doubts. There will be times when we feel like giving in to those doubts. But real faith never gives up. It always rests in the knowledge that God will do exactly what he has promised in his time. And then he refused to lose the reward. Abraham lived for 25 years with the knowledge that one day God would give him and Sarah a child. He knew it, and he refused to let go of that truth. He obtained the promise because he responded to God's promise with an attitude of faith. Now, I don't know what you need from the Lord this evening. Probably all of us need something from the Lord. But if you tonight have a promise in the matter, then I challenge you to act in faith. Learn what faith is. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen as yet. And the Bible tells us that without faith, it is impossible to please God. And in fact, the Bible goes on to tell us in Romans chapter 14 and verse 23 that whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So when all those lessons are learned, just simply take hold of God's word and hold on. So first of all, Abraham's faith was well placed. Secondly, Abraham's faith was well pleased. It was pleased with God's promise. His faith was pleased with the promises of God because he knew that they were as God, that God could not lie, that God would fulfill his promise. God had made them. What I see is a man who did not look for reasons to doubt. And you know, sometimes we receive a promise of God and we start thinking of all of the reasons why this can't happen. We give ourselves reasons why we should doubt that promise. But he simply took the Lord at his word and praised God for the answer, even though it was not yet visible. You know, I've learned that that really is the secret. To begin to praise God even when the answer has not arrived yet. Because that is a great demonstration of our faith. Lord, I don't see the answer to my promise yet, but I'm going to praise you and I'm going to thank you for it anyway. All I can say is, it's a simple word, trust. Simply trust the Lord. Because you know what? He's as good as his word. There was a day when you didn't need contracts and all these things. You could take a man at his word. If he said it, that was good enough. We don't live in a day like that anymore. Our world has changed, but God has not changed. And if God says it in his word, you can be sure it will happen. He's as good as he has promised. And then he's pleased with God's performance. Being fully persuaded that what he had promised, verse 21, he was able also to perform. Doesn't matter what God has promised, he's able to bring it about. Sometimes I've made promises and I just couldn't keep the promise because I didn't have the ability to do so. That is never true with God. Abraham did not look at the problem with one eye, downsize God with the other. He simply took the Lord at his word and knew that if God said it, then God would see to it that it would be done. That's why Abraham could take his young son. Some commentators think he was a teenager. Some think he was maybe in his 20s. But Abraham could take him to the top of Mount Moriah, build an altar, place his son upon that altar, lift his knife, and be ready to take the life of his son and offer him as a burnt offering before the Lord. Because he knew that even if he did that, God was able to raise him up again. Wow. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 17 through 19 says, "By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure." I guess Abraham really thought that if he took the life of his son, God would raise him from the dead, because God had made this promise that he was going to be the father of many nations and that he was going to be blessed through Isaac. And not even the death of his son was going to stop that promise from being fulfilled. God certainly would have to raise up his son. God would see to it that his promise would be fulfilled. Again, I'm telling you tonight that God is still God. You can count on him. He is still able to move in power. He's got just as much power tonight as he has ever had. He's still God this evening. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The God of Abraham is your God. He's my God. He's our God. He's not changed. His promises are just as true. His power is just as great. And then Abraham was pleased with God's plan, verse 22, "And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness." Abraham's faith was well pleased with the Lord because the Lord took the faith of this old man and credited it to his account in heaven with righteousness. Put another way, God saved the soul of Abraham because he took God at his word. God's plan for Abraham is still God's plan for you and me this evening. He just wants us to take him at his word and to act on the promise as if they were real, which they are. So Abraham's faith was well placed. Abraham's faith was well pleased. And thirdly tonight, Abraham's faith was well preserved. Verse 23, now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Notice that this is preserved as a promise. We are told here that the promise was not just to impute righteousness to Abraham, but to anyone who would exercise the same kind of faith. Not just faith, though, but saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a lesson here about salvation. Abraham acted on the light he had received and was declared righteous by God. He was saved by faith, just as the same as any person in our day. However, the object of our saving faith is different than that of Abraham. Salvation has always been by grace through faith. However, Abraham took God at his word concerning the birth of Isaac. He took God at his word considering with the promise of the future multitudes and the fact that every family on earth would be blessed. And God accepted that as saving faith. Abraham believed on the promises of God. We are saved. We have to react to the light that we have been given as well. However, it's not just enough to believe in God tonight or to believe in God's promises. We have greater light than that. The light we have received has revealed that Jesus Christ is the way to God. And if we are going to be saved, then it isn't merely by faith, but faith in Jesus and faith in his sacrifice that saves our soul. There are a lot of people that believe in God tonight. Does that mean that they're saved and going to heaven? No, it doesn't. Their faith has to be in Jesus Christ, in his sacrifice, and in his salvation. And if they believe in him, then God will save their soul and they'll go to heaven. And it's preserved as a person. The promise boils down to one man, Jesus Christ. In fact, he is the central focus of every promise that has ever been given. He is the one through whom all nations of the earth would be blessed. He is the one who dies on the cross and rose from the dead. He is the one who paid our sin debt and rose to be our Savior. He is the focus of our faith. In fact, if Jesus Christ is not the focus of our faith tonight, then our faith is dead. He is God's Word in the flesh. He is the living Word. Our faith needs to be in him. Our faith stands upon two great pillars of truth. They are, number one, that Jesus died for our sins, and number two, he rose from the dead. So with all the honesty that your heart possesses, can you truly say that you are trusting the Lord Jesus Christ alone for your soul's salvation? I trust everybody here tonight can say that. Paul's conclusion to this section of Scripture makes it clear that nothing else or no one else will work. Salvation must come through faith in Jesus Christ. Abraham believed and was saved. It wasn't works. It wasn't law. It wasn't circumcision. It was faith then, and it is faith now. Therefore, tonight, where is your faith? Where is your faith? I hope that it is focused on Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. Any place else your faith is directed tonight, it is misdirected. Focus on Jesus, and God will fulfill the promises that he has made for you in your life, in his time. Could I have your heads bowed tonight? Has God given you a promise? Maybe it's been a long time. Maybe God promised you the salvation of one of your children. It's been a long time, and you're still waiting. Maybe God has promised you healing. It's been a long time, and you're still waiting. My purpose tonight is just to come alongside of you and encourage you to not give up. Abraham waited 25 years. During that time, he did not stagger. Was there some unbelief? Was there some doubt? There might be. There possibly was. But he didn't let that doubt overcome him. He acted on faith and starved the doubt. Maybe you just tonight want to say, Lord, I still believe. I still trust you. It's been years, I know, but I still trust you. My faith is still in you. I'm not looking to myself. I'm not looking to anybody else. I'm still looking to you. I know that God would be pleased with your faith tonight, even as he was with Abraham's. Just so I could pray with you tonight, how many here, by an uplifted hand, you'd say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I've been praying for something. I have not yet seen that promise fulfilled, but I'm still trusting God. I'm still waiting on him. Amen. Can I see your hands tonight? Amen. 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 Many of us tonight are waiting on God. You know, our waiting, though, is not passive. It's active. Because while we are waiting, we're still praying. We're still praising. We're still serving him. And maybe tonight your heart can go out and just say, Lord, I praise you. Even though I have not yet received the promise, I thank you and I praise you. You are still God. Lord, tonight there have been many hands that have been raised. People are praying. Your people, your children are praying. Lord, tonight you must be pleased with them because their faith is placed in you. I pray tonight that you would do for them what you did for Abraham, and that is that you would bring about the fulfillment of that promise. Lord, there is no doubt that you will do that. Only help those that are waiting to have the patience, to have the grace, and to keep the faith. And Lord, tonight, if there is any that have begun to stagger at the promise, looking at the circumstances or looking at the hopelessness of the situation, I pray, Lord, that you would just draw them back in to you tonight, that their gaze would once again be focused on you, that they would turn their eyes on Jesus tonight to look full in your saving, compassionate, kind face. Lord, tonight we realize that you still have the power. You are still God. And we thank you, Lord, in advance for the answers to our prayer. We thank you for the fulfillment of these promises. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.